This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Marina Shafir.
Hey, yo.
And the Greg Wilson. T-Rex needed some time off after last week's podcast. I swear to God, he came back.
What a guy. Can't work 30 minutes.
He's like,
I need a vacation.
He realized our sponsor might not be there anymore. And he was like, hey, listen, man, I'll come back. It just takes him a long time to get here. But he will be back. Just whatever. Not every week.
He has a lot of commitments during the day because he's got a family and
He's got four kids.
And his wife, you know, is the breadwinner, so he's got to wear his apron, you know. He's got to iron the clothes and change the diapers.
He's going to love hearing this.
He's going to hate me. He's going to be like, Wilson? I love you, T-Rex.
But after last week's show, actually, just so everybody knows, me and Marina went out for lunch.
We did.
We went out for sushi.
Is that what they call it now?
Yes. Yeah. I ate her sushi. No.
I went out for sushi twice.
He definitely didn't eat any of my sushi because I don't share sushi.
Wow. That's true. That's
way to just kill that one. Huh?
Thanks a lot for the fun. You know, in improv.
She's one of those girls that just shuts it down.
I have two older brothers. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, if you learn, just shut it down. I love it. It's powerful.
In improv, they have a thing like yes and. You're supposed to say yes and.
Right, go with
Marina,
it.
Marina, it's no but.
Yeah. No but, no buts.
Yeah, just no
buts. Did we forget I was Russian and Jewish?
Yes, we did.
Okay,
no,
there
never.
We go.
Wow, we're going to litigate this one.
So, by the way, I'm on Dayquil right now. So I'm a little thing. I had a cold. I'm getting over it.
Me too.
Stuffed up.
Yeah, so I can't hear out of my right ear, which is always a good time when you're doing a podcast.
The worst.
But what are you going to do? I'm a trooper. We're gonna make it happen. Yeah. After the show, right, I was thinking, I'm like, you know, Marina is a pro fighter. She walks around at like 165. Mm-hmm. She trains every day. Should be able to kick my ass. I'm a fucking comic who's never sparred a day in his life, right?
Yeah.
However, I go, just, you know what? What if I get that punch or I take her down? I try not to leave my arms out.
Luck is a factor in everything.
So I called my friend Connor Hune, who I used to train with, who's a pro fighter for Strikeforce. I go, Connor, man. So, you know,
Conor McGregor.
You really talked about this.
He had to go get some more perspective.
I did, because he's the guy that I train with the most.
Essentially, you needed a man to tell you would get your ass kicked.
Thanks for ruining the punchline.
I
called Conor. I said, listen, so Marina Shafir says she would kick my butt. You know, we've rolled together. We've trained together. What would happen in a fight? He goes, dude, she'd fuck you up.
Exactly.
I go, but dude, but we wrestled. He goes, yeah, dude, a wrestling match is different, though. This girl trains every day, spars every day. He's like, you got a puncher's chance, you know. But he goes, but dude, you would leave your arm out. You would get in her guard. She would go for some kind of a triangle or this and that. You don't know how to. She's a black belt in judo. It made me feel a little better in some weird fucking way. He's like, dude, but you know what? But of course you're gonna think that because that's you and you're a wrestler and that's what. So
and you know, at the end of the day, this is still America. And you would still get paid more for the fight.
First of all, I
love that Marina's agreeing.
Yeah,
like,
wait,
hey,
but
hey,
also, but also, no. But also, this is America, and I'd probably be getting paid a lot of money on the side that neither of you would ever know about.
What do you mean? Like,
what is that supposed to mean?
What does that mean? Like side hooking or something?
No, not side hooking.
The promoter, like,
no.
Do you line up for hand jobs?
Yeah, that's the weirdest statement I've ever heard in my life.
So
what does that mean?
I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't talk about how much I would probably get paid less for the fight, but I would probably make more in sponsors.
Oh,
that's probably true.
Well, you know what I was thinking though about this whole, you know, I'm all for equal rights, so obviously for the sexes, but for a lot of different reasons. First of all, there's nothing better than like a girl who makes as much money as a guy. Also, is not gonna then go for, like, you ever see these like old rich dudes with the hottest chicks ever? Mm-hmm. And you're like, fuck, like if that girl's making as much as the old rich dude, he's not gonna bang her, which actually means I have a better shot of banging her.
So pay them more so they get to come down to your level.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
and he evens it out for guys like me, you know? I want to be used.
Wait. Has that worked yet for you?
No, because it's
still America.
It's still America.
It's still a theory.
But I think
In theory, if they made more, they would bang Adam Hunter.
These old rich dudes would be fucked because these young girls would be on equal pay and they wouldn't have to go for these old sleazy guys, some of them that do, or these gold diggers.
Yes, but that would entail them still having to work, and that's at the bottom of it.
Oh, you really?
Girls that bang those old rich guys, they just don't want to do anything. They'd rather spend 10 minutes jerking them off and then enjoy the rest of the day.
Outfits are really hard to pick nowadays, though, you know? We kind of need more than just a couple minutes in the morning. Some girls just like to take all day.
Exactly.
That's why they don't want to do anything.
They want to take all day.
Yeah, you're right. That does factor it in. That's still work ethic. It's still work ethic. However,
In theory,
equal pay means that guys like me do better. Okay.
Equal pay equals better pussy.
Because there's no like using people. You know, like hot chicks will use dudes.
Yeah.
Like because
please,
they're like
use me.
Yeah. Go ahead. You know. Kick me out of bed.
Exactly. Look, I'm all take me out to dinner. Use me for dick. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Bang me and tell me to fucking make you a sandwich.
I'll do it.
Fuck it. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll make a bowl for sandwiches. Back to T-Rex.
I'm just kidding.
T-Rex. Way to loop that right around.
I love T-Rex. He's a very good friend of mine.
That's why you can make so much fun of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Believe me, he makes fun of me too. Trust me.
How was your week, by the way? What did you do?
It was good.
Who'd you roll with?
Who did I roll with? Like rolled with or like rolled with like jiu-jitsu?
I think I meant both.
Oh yeah. Shit. You don't want to know.
I just want to know.
two other horsewomen, Shane and Jessamine.
Yes.
And then Colleen Schneider, who has a fight in Invicta next week.
Oh really?
Did you call them?
The four horsewomen. That's Ronda's entourage. They go by the four horsewomen.
I'm so sorry.
Greg doesn't know.
Okay, listen. I'm a big fan, but I'm clearly the lay person.
Okay.
So when you said that, making a remark about them physically. A Frito lay person. Goddamn right. Once you pop, you can't stop. but I thought you were insulting their faces.
No.
These two ugly horse bitches.
No.
So strong, so ugly.
No, they just straddled you.
Oh my god.
So yes, she trained with the four horsewomen. Yes.
Yeah, and with Colleen and Caitlin Young.
Colleen's dating Josh, right?
Yes.
Yes. So Colleen Snyder, Josh Barnett.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Caitlin Young.
Josh's in MMA.
It's true.
Very popular name.
None of them are Jewish too, which is funny.
Very strange.
So you train over at Josh's gym?
Yeah, at CSW.
Okay.
And then I got a cold on Friday. It took me out through the weekend, and I'm just getting over it today.
Nice.
Well, that's good. You got to rest. And you know the thing is, though, in these, you know, with the exercise and the rolling around, I mean, there's a lot of fluids exchange. Like, if one person's sick, it seems like everybody's getting fucking sick.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Especially like...
It's got to be hard to try and wipe down your opponent in Purell before you...
I used to hate it when my whole wrestling team would used to get ringworm.
That's the one thing that no one takes serious at all.
Ringworm?
Yeah, and they should. There was a kid, actually, in my high school. I went to a boarding school in Maine for kids who had needed alternative education. Too much energy.
You know what that means? Homosexuals.
Exactly. it was a gay school. No, so... but
it was a dance academy.
But everyone had to play a sport, and they made you play every semester. They made us all... There was only 200 kids in the whole school, and normally, like, a lot of kids, if they had bad attitudes, they'd make them wrestle. They go, you know, you're wrestling. And then there was a one kid that didn't want to wrestle. A lot of kids didn't want to wrestle, but a kid actually paid another kid $20 to give him ringworm to get him off the wrestling team.
Wrestle.
Yeah.
Boy.
that's disgusting. Why would you ever pay for that?
But that's pretty genius in a way. Like, to get out of wrestling, hey man, I'll give you $20 to give me
like, ringworm and I'm out.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of.
I've only gotten ringworm once in my life, and that was when I was in the high school wrestling team.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get it?
I had it all over. I had it in my scalp.
Oof.
Yeah, I had it like on my arms and my legs and stuff. Like, it was bad.
Ugh.
Yeah. Now, and once you have it, does it make you susceptible to getting it again? Like, it makes it easier?
Yeah, not really.
It really just comes down to your habits. It's not really about like contracting it. Like, you really just need to hop into a fucking shower.
Nothing was worse when I got impetigo my senior year. I was undefeated. I was 30-0, Class A champion. I was Northern England champion. This was my year.
Yeah.
And then impetigo, which is like ringworm times 30.
Oh.
And it's just, and I got it all over my body. I used to wake up itching,
oh my
itching.
God.
And then I couldn't wrestle for like a week and a half. And then I couldn't lose any weight because if I sweated, it would spread. I went to nationals. I was the last kid weighed in because they may have to have like six doctors cleared me. And then finally, I ended up losing in the third round. Like,
fuck, that's
so
sucks.
Fucking
that sucks,
pissed.
Man.
That haunted me for years.
Yeah.
Fucking, it still
haunts
me.
Yeah, because it seems like life is getting in your way.
Yeah.
What did I do to deserve this? I did all the work. This is my time. And then, you know, it's like these guys that have to back out of a big fight that they're totally looking forward to, but they get injured.
Yeah.
They're like,
well, a lot of guys don't get injured. That's the worst, though. When I talk to people, I go, hey, what happened in that one fight? You go, oh, I went into that fight with a torn ACL, or I had a horrible ankle injury.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why'd you do that? Well, I needed the money. I didn't want to back out. I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
That's
so
to
they
me
end up fighting on that.
And losing. Yeah. And then in a way, also, I think in a way, they also have an excuse to lose in some weird way. Like that, you always think you're going to win, but in a way, in the back of your head, if you know you're not 100%, it's terrible.
That's where the mental comes in.
You guys
want
to hear my high school sports story?
Let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. I was a junior in high school, and they called me. They're like, Greg, you need another PE credit. And I was like, okay.
Did you join the cheerleading squad?
Here's what happened. They go, I said, what's available during this time slot? And they go, body mechanics and dance.
No way.
And I go, what is that? And they're like, it's like aerobics. And I go, do guys do that? She goes, sure. I go in there. It's 34 girls in leotards and me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
I know. I'm like, oh.
Did you crack
it? It was great. So the coach, the woman that runs it, she's like, Greg, just, you know what? Try and just go to the back and just try and stretch and, you know, follow along. You'll be fine. I'm like, fine. I go in the back. They immediately start bending over. I'm like, this is fucking great. So after about 3 days of the girls being miserably uncomfortable, some of the girls were very comfortable and some of the girls were miserably uncomfortable being there. The coach comes, she pulls me out of the class. She goes, you know, Greg, I talked to the tennis coach. It's at the same time as this. They have a girl that would be willing to switch into this class and you could switch it to tennis. And I looked at her and I said, you know, coach, I think I'm going to tough it out. I'm not fucking joking. And I spent the whole semester in there with 34 women. And I learned more about women that semester than I ever learned about them.
Wow. I have a question.
Yes.
Did you get laid?
No, but I did get jerked off. And I thought I was going to get laid. Like, this one slut, like, she really loved me. And, like, we would drive around in her Fiero. That's how long ago this was. And she would, like, jerk me off and stuff. And I thought we were going to screw, but it never happened.
I was on a dance team in college. I swear to God. I was on the black dance repertoire.
No, you weren't.
Here's what happened, right? There was this.
Wait, so you can like break it down and boogie?
Not really, not anymore. Here's what happened.
How'd you fake it on the team?
Well, what happened was
they didn't have any black people.
There was this girl that I was, trying to hook up with. This girl Tatiana, and I was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" She's like, "Oh, Puerto Rican girl. I'm giving auditions for the black dance repertoire, the BDR." So I'm like, can I try out? She's like, sure.
Repertoire.
So I tried out, and I had some decent skills. Like Back in the day. I actually made the team. I was the only white guy in the whole team, right?
Yeah. Did you feel proud?
Oh God, it was great. But then I was pledging a fraternity, right?
Uh-huh. And were you like the Channing Tatum of the group?
Sort of. I was an SAE fraternity, right? And I hated pledging. I only pledged because I had a TV show called These Nuts that got me sued for $20 million in college.
Are you serious?
That's a whole nother long story.
Holy
okay,
crap.
So I needed friends quickly because I challenged the whole school to a fight, basically. And so I joined a fraternity. So I got out of pledging by going to black dance practice, right? So I was like, fuck it, either, you know, fucking do calisthenics in my underwear in the freezing cold
and get spanked.
Or go to black dance team. And then they go,
black dance team looks a lot better right now.
So I actually won most dedicated member of the black dance repertoire.
Do you still have that certificate?
I do.
Can we hang it up in here?
It's like the fake award you give to the kid that eats.
Can we
glue.
Hang it up in here, please?
Hey, who's most dedicated? That's our white member.
Oh, and then my friends would come to frat parties, right?
Yeah.
I had a couple of the black friends come, and we would all break out in our choreographed dances, and everyone would circle around and be like, how the fuck does Adam know this shit?
You
like,
guys were those guys at the club that had the choreographed dance moves.
Yes.
I always hated you guys. Because we'd be dancing, and then those dudes would just start breaking out in a routine. I'm like, when did they prepare this fucking routine?
You were.
I can't compete with this.
You were like the original step up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Holy shit, it is all clear
now.
Does
that turn you on a little bit?
No.
It's a lie. I think she is. I think she's
a little bit. A little bit.
I think something moved.
Damn tugboat boy. Damn tugboat boy. Her boyfriend, who I happen to like a lot and respect a lot, is a real nice guy. Okay. I mean, he's probably the nicest 70-year-old dude ever met in my entire life. But he's a really, really a really nice guy. So just if you're ever listening, tugboat guy, when I tell you how much your girlfriend has, you know, big nipples and stuff, it's all out of respect. And
it's all conjecture. We don't really know.
But we do know how Adam's nipples look.
Yeah, they're big. But although there's a picture of you on the internet of Rhonda faking blowing you. What's going on with that?
Oh, that was after the 2008 Olympics.
Yes.
And she flew immediately to my house in Albany. And that was when I was like going out and I was bartending and like I wasn't training at all. I was maybe doing judo like twice a week. And she came and she stayed with me for like a week and a half. And I just took her out in the town almost every single night.
But just,
we were getting fucked up. No.
Wow. You know what? See, I would love a girl like you to be my girlfriend or something because I'm a loudmouth. And I would love, and if they'd be like, what, you got to have your girlfriend fight your fighter? I'd be like, hell yeah.
I was thinking about that. You know what's funny? I was thinking about that. Like say me and Marina ever dated, right? Yeah. Which would never happen. But let's say we did or dated a girl who was a fighter, right?
Talk about Joe. You don't have to worry about it.
You're totally setting yourself up.
Okay, so. Let's say somebody wanted to fight us, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm
as
the
a
guy.
Couple?
I'm the guy. I would be the first one to fight, right?
Right.
But she's got a better chance of winning.
Absolutely.
And when the game's on the line, you got to play your best players.
I would just walk into a punch and go down so she could take over. Like, be like, come on, come on, you first, you first. I got him, get him. It'd be over for me so fast. And then I'll just stand up a cheerleader. Go, Marina. Get him, Marina. Go, Marina. Get him, Marina.
Is that what you would do?
That's what I do. Just like that, too.
You'd have a whole song?
I'd have a song. Then I'd break out my prepared dance routine. Who's going to knock you out? Say what? Who's going to knock you out? Say what?
And all your little
M-A-R-N-A. Who's going to knock you out? Marina. M-A-R-N-A.
Would that make you happy, having a guy that would have a dance routine?
I definitely wouldn't be upset about it.
Really?
I love it.
So how was your week, Greg? We didn't talk about your week.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to ignore the negative energy coming from Ireland.
Oh, you missed it. By the way, the last podcast we had, Greg did a couple...
I made some lighthearted jokes.
About Conor McGregor.
Yes.
And then there was a thing, it made the Irish news.
No.
Yeah.
The Irish Informer, I think.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah.
Yes.
That is awesome.
They called, so-called comedian uses potato slur.
Yeah, so.
Because I made a joke about, I was pretending.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I was I'm not showing up unless they pay me in potatoes. Now, here's the thing. I would just like to say, just to clarify. I'm a huge fan of Conor McGregor,
and
I love the Irish. I've been to Dublin. It's a beautiful country. I in no way meant any offense, and I, as an American, had no idea potato was considered a slur.
Yeah.
To the Irish. To us, I just thought it was, you know, funny...
That potato famine thing, they are way more sensitive about that.
They
than
really
you
are.
No, I know.
The thing is, kill like thousands and thousands.
Yes, but I think to Americans, it's what drove...
So
it's why
it
we
said
have
like, I mean, literally, it made...
It's their 9/11.
So here's the article, right?
It's their 9/11. Okay. I think it's more like their Great Depression, but okay.
Okay, so here's
in
the article.
In terms of sensitivity, a lot more...
So it was...
Right, and I didn't think about that, so I should... I mean, for that, I would apologize, because it was meant to be cartoonish, buffoonish,
so, U.S. comedian and Conor McGregor potato slur. Okay.
It's fantastic.
It goes,
I hate it. So
a podcast in America is the center of a storm after claiming that Conor McGregor would only turn up at the award ceremonies if the prize was made from potatoes. Irishman McGregor
didn't like crowns either.
Was voted International Fighter of the Year but didn't turn up going. Greg Wilson, who is apparently a stand-up comedian, claimed on the MMA Roasted podcast that McGregor demanded a fee for his appearance. He then went on saying, I'm not showed up to win your award if you don't serve me some Lucky Charms.
Oh my God, this article is ridiculous.
Is this like a The Onion website?
No,
this is real.
This is like their number
one news outlet. This is like the New York Times of Ireland.
When the presenters discussed the figures they claim McGregor demanded Wilson, and I heard it was somewhere in the reign of several thousand crowns, right?
Apparently crowns is a problem.
What's the problem with that?
I don't know.
He then changes his tone back to the pathetic fake Irish accent, saying,
"That's my pathetic fake Irish accent, which is clearly meant to be cartoonish. I'm not trying to actually offend, just like when I do any other Jewish accents, my terrible Australian accent. All I do is bad accents."
So they said, "If it's a pot of gold is what I want, if I can't have a pot of gold, I'm not showing up to your little award show. I am putting my tiny green vest and little green shoes."
They quoted this whole thing.
Yeah.
They quoted everything I said. All of it got quoted.
Well, was he aware the award was made from potatoes? I'm not showing up, unless my award is made from potatoes, right? So that was the thing. So yeah.
Wow.
So Greg Wilson not making many Irish fans.
Wait,
so are we still in the middle of the storm then?
No,
but I did get a few messages.
It's not a very loud storm.
Yeah, it was more a drizzle.
It wasn't quite a squall. It was it was more like a low hanging cloud cover.
Did you see 50 Shades of Grey, by the way?
Of course not.
Yeah. You know, I auditioned for the lead in that.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God.
No,
on my life. I have the audition tape.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I swear on my life.
Only like 3 shades of gray.
I don't know. I was like, I'm not getting this.
You're never driving the ladies to 50.
No, I was not going to. They asked me to audition for it. I was like, all right, sure.
What?
I put myself on tape for it. It was like.
Isn't he supposed to be like a business executive?
They gave it to. Yeah, I know. It would have been horrible. Yeah. But they gave it to Jax Teller. Actually, originally, the guy who played on Sons of Anarchy got it.
Charlie. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, but then
he
turned it down. He had it.
Smart.
I think the script was strange. I read the script. It was like, I was like, oh my God. It's crazy. Well, but it would have been funny, though. It would have been funny to have me in it. Just people totally. Would be like, well, now that MMA Roses in 50 Shades of Grey.
Did you see what Eve Edwards said about?
No, what did he say?
He wrote a whole movie review after he left. He left the theater. Like, basically, his last line in his movie review for 50 Shades was, he's like, I wanted to yell fire in the middle of the theater, but I knew I'd get arrested, so I was actually contemplating taking a shit in the back of the movie theater so everybody would have to funnel out.
Oh my God.
He said it was that bad.
No, now that we know that you auditioned for 50 Shades of Grey, we should do like 50 Shades of Roasted.
We do.
And then you could try to dress up like a business exec and then do all this crazy shit.
Or we could reenact.
I'm going to tie you down. Maybe. And then I'm going to tickle you.
We're not reenacting anything.
We could reenact the scenes. Marina. What do you say?
Yeah.
50 Shades of Marina.
No.
I think it would be Marina tying you down, submitting you a few times.
I think so too.
Putting things up your butt.
Oh, listen. All right, now you went too far. I've never had. Have you heard anything up your butt or no?
I attempted submissions. you know, and I've talked about this on stage. You know, because you want to play with my butthole, that's fine.
Really?
But you know, during a blowjob, yeah, you'd blow on me, give a little, you know, who's your father? The fuck,
Marina? You ever do that with guys?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little, you know,
exit
little
only,
little whirly
really?
Bird.
Nothing up your butt.
A little swirling
exit
ball.
Exit only.
Exit only. Yeah.
Exit
so,
only.
But you try and get in there, and it goes from freaky to fucked up, pretty fucked up. you're just like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you strumming a guitar? Wow, what the fuck is that? Get out of my house! I'm not like that. Get out!
Right?
And then it's like, come back. Now I have questions.
All right. So Cody No Love can't do it today.
No.
Next week.
And so it's not just a clever name.
Is okay. Is next week okay?
Yeah, we got No Love.
Yeah. So Cody No Love.
We're getting No Love from Cody No Love.
Canceled today. So he will be on next week. All right, Cody No Love next week because, I get No Love. It should be Adam No Love.
I told you we should have done it.
How was your Valentine's Day?
My Valentine's Day, good save. My Valentine's Day was good.
I know you're getting all depressed. I'm like, I don't even know why people listen to this podcast.
I got here on time, but I had to wait outside for 30 minutes. Then the guests got put back. I get it.
I got dirty looks too.
I get it. Whatever.
Yeah, you got dirty looks.
I get no respect.
Now
I get
arch.
What do I got to do to get some fucking?
No,
respect,
I don't really care for him.
What do I got to do to have get some respect, people? What do I got to do?
Tell me about your Valentine's Day.
50 Shades of Grey.
So I went to go see a play. I had a friend in a play on Valentine's
Day. Los Angeles.
Yeah, she was in it.
Oh, okay, that explains. I was gonna say,
and it was crazy though. It was crazy because it was.
Can you say what the play was?
It was like this, like a night of one acts in Santa Monica Playhouse. This girl that I'm dating was in this play. But what was crazy was the people were talking. There was an old guy talking in the back, which is fine, whatever. So the director, after the play, gets up and starts pushing the guy. Like, this guy was like 60 and goes, "Don't you ever fucking talk during my play." And the guy's like, "Sorry, I like the
fuck
play."
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't have to push him and curse him out.
Yeah,
it
he
was
did.
Like, it
yeah,
was like,
did.
No, the guy was an old man.
Yeah,
a,
he did.
It was an old man. And I was, I'm like, oh, do I have to get into a fight right now? Like,
listen,
I,
seniors are the only ones supporting theater.
Yeah. It was,
okay. They're the only ones that remember it's an art form. It still exists.
You know how many times I've wanted to push people out of my comedy shows or, yeah, or kick them out or punch them? You don't put your hands on people. And that was strange.
That's but, a bit much. That's
but,
much.
I
mean, I know that's your first line of defense.
Fuck yeah. I'm all the way for this guy right now.
And Adams is his words.
What?
He just destroys hecklers.
Yeah, yeah, words, right? Exactly. You don't have to push people out of a yeah. play, especially when someone's marked this time down for a sec.
Sure.
Yeah, so anyway, so that was my Valentine's Day. It was good. It was cool. What else? I had shows all week. I had some great shows all week. Where was I? Wednesday night I was at the HaHa. Actually, Thursday night, this guy, DeAndre, has this – DeAndre has this – he's on The Real Husbands of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Donde Whitfield, pretty big actor. And it was crazy. My two friends who were porn stars showed up, right? And they're a porn couple. They're married. And
I mean, you know, it makes sense, but it's kind of weird.
It was so they showed up in the front, and I told my friend, I'm like, hey, mess with them a little bit. And he did, right? But this is the weirdest couple. Like, they're into some, like, public humiliation stuff.
Ooh, nice.
Where, like, the girl...
I go, whoop, and he's like, nice.
Like, the girl...
Look at him. He's spilling a cup filled with pee right now.
He's, like, rubbing he's his like, beard. Well, yeah. He's like, yeah, tell
he's
me.
He's like, oh, that shit on a plate.
I mean, they're, like, friends of mine, but, like, I, like, know them. They come to shows. This guy, Chad Diamond, his wife, where the girl literally got a tattoo while giving head, while getting anal.
What?
And it was on camera.
There's no way that tattoo is going to turn out right.
It was
God. This should have been on Jackass.
It was
this
better.
This should have been on.
What do you do with the arm jutting forward over and over again?
This should have been on Jackass.
That's a way more extreme version of off-road tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what that is.
It wasn't as bad as you think, actually, the tattoo.
Oh, okay.
It was a name tattoo. It wasn't like a drawing.
Was it in cursive?
Yes.
Or did it end up being in cursive?
It was in cursive.
It started out block. It wound up in cursive.
So they came to the show. And then, where was I? And then Friday night I had, like, I think all Mexican, like 400 people in Whittier. One of the best shows ever. They were going ballistic. It was one of those things. I feel like I was a rock star.
Right.
And then Sunday I did Chocolate Sundays at the Laugh Factory. Which is like
Where's that?
Did both shows.
In Hollywood, did both shows. Rocked that hard. It was a good weekend for stand-up. Then I had my acting classes yesterday at Second City.
I played the Aviator Casino, which is one of the... Okay, now, because of the Indian casino thing, there's all these tiny, shitty little casinos everywhere. It literally looked like they had converted a Steak and Shake into a casino. Okay, like they just changed the sign, kept the color scheme and the building. Like there was a part where
Same kind of customers.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
It was pretty bad. So we go in there and then they got us a motel room. Can't even say hotel. It was motel. And the reviews, my buddy, the other comic that drove me up there, he looked up the reviews on Yelp and they were all 1-star reviews.
No way.
And the reviews all said it smells like a mixture of pee and nursing homes.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Isn't that the same thing, kind of?
And then it goes, right, that's what he said. So like old and young pee. And then they go, and the staff is rude.
How was the actual show?
The show itself, I got heckled by this giant Mexican, this huge
What'd he say?
Mexican. You know what? He wasn't even watching the show. He just crossed in front of the stage, and I actually let him go. He didn't talk to me. I kept doing the show. Then he crossed back, and then he decided to stop and try and talk to me. And of course, I started just destroying him.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a Niners cap, and I was like, Niners? Why did they even wear their pants on the field this season? So he started getting really heated about this. But one good thing about casinos is they have a lot of security. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, I was just questioning, and security finally walked him out. But then he was waiting outside for me.
Oh no!
Yeah. So then this is the best part. My other comic buddy who was with me, Tamer Catan, goes outside to talk to him and says, listen, man, he was just kidding, except for the shit about the Niners.
That's good.
Yeah, and then he kind of laughed about that and he left. So it was nice. So it worked out okay. And it turned out to be a pretty good show.
Now the fight. Let's talk some fights.
The fights were good.
So I loved Thursday, Friday, Saturday fights. I love World Series of Fighting on Thursday, Bellator Friday, UFC Saturday. I think they should every week. They should just do that.
It's
honestly
like football, high school, college, pro.
Well, yes
not,
and no.
I don't mean that. I'm just saying the progression.
Well, maybe not, because there was actually like, well, first of all, let's talk about World Series of Fighting. So Cody McKenzie, who I'm always a big fan of Cody McKenzie. I met him a couple times. He seems like a nice guy. He's one of these guys that cannot control his emotions. He just wears his heart on his sleeve.
But I like that.
Well, what happened was,
I know it's probably not good for fighting, but I like seeing it.
Here's what happened. So he gets in the World Series of Fighting. It's just a big organization. I think his last fight was an M1. Before that, I think he did that Battlefield MMA, whatever. And he's been on a losing streak. He has not been looking good.
He's just been fighting for money, just to get paid, pretty much.
This fight, he actually was looking great. He was fighting in Canada. He was wrestling. He was looking great. So the guy pulled his hair, okay, which is not right. You don't pull a opponent's hair.
A guy pulled another guy's hair?
Yeah, so his opponent pulled
his
hair.
Does he have long hair?
Oh,
he has long hair,
God.
And the ref said, don't grab his hair. So Cody's on top, pounding away. There's 10 seconds in the round. He would have won the round. He then winds up and headbutts him in the eye. The guy can't continue. Cody loses the fight.
Disqualified.
And that was what happened. And Cody was up going, get up, bitch. Come on, bitch. And I guess Cody's teammates were saying the guy faked an injury. But I don't know. I mean, look, I hope he has another fight with World Series of Fighting. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him because of this.
Yeah.
He won the fight. He lost the MMA the MMA contest.
Well, there was the one fight in the UFC fight night that had the double headbutt. That yeah. created the cut under his eye.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But that was unintentional. This was
right. Well,
extremely...
I felt he kept dragging him into his own fucking face.
That was completely unintentional. I think you're talking about the Jerome Max Holloway.
Yes, that's
fight.
Exactly what it was.
But
the
that
Max
was
Holloway
unintentional.
Fight.
Cody McKenzie, you know, there's a guy who I feel like in a way should somehow, if you were going to open up an MMA league, which is like bare knuckle, no holds bars fighting, Cody McKenzie.
He needs to talk to Phil Baroni.
Would be the guy to do it, because there's a certain element of person. There's almost like two types of athletes in MMA, two types of fighters. There's like people that are college wrestlers or, you know, jiu-jitsu guys or karate guys or point guys or box, whatever. They're like in one category. The Phil Davises or the even the Rashad Evans and there are certain guys out there
that have pedigree.
And then there's this guys who just want to fight. Who yeah. literally
I love that though.
Don't of course you love it. And there are guys that cross over. A guy like Diego Sanchez or something, or they could do both. But I would put him almost in the other category of guys that just want to fight. And they almost don't want rules. They don't want constraints. They don't want time limits. And Cody McKenzie is in that breed of fighter that just wants to fight. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe MMA is not his thing. I mean, I know he makes a lot of money as a commercial fisherman.
Yeah, in Alaska.
In Alaska. But I don't know. It kind of sucks.
Not such your kind of guy.
He's actually looking.
I just think if he's happy doing what he's doing, if he's happy getting a couple fights here and there and then still doing the fisherman thing, so be it. Let him do.
Yeah, but you don't want to.
It's
I mean,
not good career building.
But wouldn't you like to see him get the win, get an actual win, then lose by disqualification?
Absolutely.
Do a dumb headbutt? Yeah.
Well, I agree with that. Like, he definitely needs to understand the rules a little bit better.
He knows the rules.
He knows the rules. He decided, fuck the rules. I'm going to headbutt this guy
and
a little payback.
And I understand it. The guy smokes a ton of weed. The guy's been through a
lot of
shit.
Well, now I like him even more.
He was broke. He was living out of his car. I mean, I think Jake Ellenberger was saying at one point he was training with Cody, and Cody didn't join a gym because he didn't want to pay a gym fee. But the guy's a pro fighter.
Yeah.
So they were literally sparring in their front yard. And the neighbors were like, who the fuck are these maniacs
sparring
outside punching each other? These grown men, which I love, but Jesus Christ. So there was another couple other fights in the World Series of Fighting. Actually, there was a guy who did a Hadul kick. See that guy? You know that Street Fighter?
Right. Was that the one that looked like he was doing the... I mean, they looked like... crazy. I don't know what
his
to call
his name
him.
Is Shane Campbell.
And he did like two at the very end of the fight?
At the very end.
Yes. Dude, that was crazy.
He had the guy hurt and he went like the Street Fighter, like he threw
yeah,
a fireball.
Yeah, fireball.
Threw
yeah,
a fireball
yeah.
and then finished him. And yeah, someone actually made a Street Fighter thing. I'll play
a
it for
meme
it.
Of it or
no, an actual video. Of him doing Street Fighter, which it was on World Star Hip Hop. It was really funny.
Fucking A.
But yeah, I've never seen a fireball thing like this. Let me see if I could bring it up. Okay, yeah, I'll bring it up. It was pretty awesome. Shane Campbell. It was a good fight before that. Actually, it was a really good fight. I'm telling you. And then here, I'll show you. I know people. I don't know. I guess it's kind of weird at home watching it. But look, see. See.
That stoppage was late as hell.
Oh yeah, that was a terrible, terrible stoppage in the World Series of Fighting. So that he threw it. But I think guys should do more shit like that. It was just funny.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's showmanship. And I love a little showmanship.
And I'll tell you,
it's like the same thing as when people try to do the shuffle, or you know, they try to impersonate Muhammad Ali in the fucking
some
ring.
Some guys get too caught up in the showmanship and not enough in the fight.
Happens all the time.
And then they're like, I just wanted to give the audience a great show, and it's like, yeah, but you need to win the
fighters
fight.
Are confused that being entertaining. Look, if I want to entertainment, I'll go watch the Grammys.
Right.
If I want to see dancing, I'll go watch something else. I'll watch You Can Think of Dance. I'm watching fighting because I want to watch fighting.
Exactly.
Now Josh Hill, he was on your season,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He looked great.
Yeah,
he fought Marlon Monroe, who according to Ali Abdulaziz is the best 135 pounder in the world. I totally
what was that
butchered
name again?
His name. Ali Abdulaziz.
Okay.
He's the so he thinks this guy Moroz is the best 135er in the world, which I would argue that's not true. However, he's damn good. But Josh Hill took him 5 rounds, won the first round, I would say won the 5th round, was right there. This kid's no joke.
Yeah, no, he was a great athlete, and on the show though, he was a little bit more like, you know, it seemed like he was a little bit more of a lay and pray. We thought, like, in the beginning, because his fight to get...
Those are how I like my ladies.
Like, in the beginning of the...
That's my style of birth control. Lay and pray.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the beginning of the show, his fight to get into the house, or his fight on the show, like, when they did the brackets and everything, not to get into the house, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought I was going to see more action, but he just pushed the guy up against the cage and just, you know... Hope for the best, but I heard really good things about him and his performance. And
yeah, why is he not in the world in the UFC? I thought he actually, I mean, you know, losing in the WSOF isn't the best thing in the world as far
right.
as, but he lost to the champ.
No, but like
he looked pretty damn good.
He looked very impressive, and I don't know why he's not in the UFC. They need more people in that
young
division.
Young Canadian,
exactly,
good-looking,
and they could grow him.
Uh-huh.
They could absolutely. He's young. Did you guys know he was? I think he's the one who was a romance novel model.
Really?
Yeah.
So is Elias. Boy. Elias also.
Yep.
Now, Bellator Friday night. This guy Chris Honeycutt is a fucking monster.
Yeah,
he beat a guy Clayton McFarlane, who I think was a national champion in Division II or All American Division II. And they were hyping Honeycutt, and he's one of these. He's that what I was saying. He's that sort of next breed of All American, like All American wrestler, went into MMA, but he did something crazy. When he had him on the, he had the guy's back. He had the guy flatten out. And most guys, what they do is to get the stoppage, they punch to the side of the head,
right.
Which a lot of times you're punching to the back of the head,
right? Because that's
and
really exposed,
that could, you could almost get stand up or something. What he did, he had the guy flatten out. He punched to the side. He stopped the fight
with
rib punches,
mm-hmm,
from top, which I've never seen that before.
That shit hurts.
I'm sure it hurts, but I've never seen an actual stoppage that way.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that before?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, but I've been hit there before, and it's really hard to play off that you're okay.
God, I mean, the guy was flat out, and I was like, wow, that's a... Have you ever seen that kind of a stoppage?
Yeah, there was one in the UFC in the last... I can't remember the fight, but it was in the last 6 months.
Pretty smart.
Yeah,
but
it's rare.
But you know what, though? Once a move like
that... Was it
that
on the ground
out,
or standing?
You start seeing it more and more.
It was from... he had just had side, and he was kind of turtling up. And he was just wailing on his ribs.
Unreturned.
It's
okay.
Like that. It's like that thigh, that right above the knee side thigh kick.
Oh,
we call that the sweet spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody's doing it.
I know. And
John Jones started doing it, and then now everybody.
They should make that illegal. I think a lot of people.
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, I thought you couldn't kick the knees, because to me it looked like he was straight up kicking knees.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
That's
to me,
kind of
he
a
did
strange.
You could rampage. And I was like, is that legal?
You could ruin people's careers.
Yeah.
That way.
Have you seen Miguel Torres?
Yeah.
He had oblique kick. His whole knee gave out.
Yeah, that was crazy. That's just dirty. That's nuts. That's nuts. I'm surprised more guys don't train that. I mean, like that. If I was training somebody, I would train that all the time. I'm like, dude, if this is legal,
yeah,
do this.
Do it. Yeah.
As fucked up as
wait,
it is.
Wait, that's legal? Yeah. That's legal, but headbutts aren't?
It makes no sense.
That's
well,
fucked up.
But what's like the proper defense to...
Well, headbutts cause...
It's just checking for, it? Just, yeah, absolutely, just
well,
checking
well, headbutts
it.
Cause brain damage. And that's the difference. Whereas where you, if you fuck up someone's brain, they could be dead for life. Versus...
Yeah, leave that to the NFL.
Versus the knee. The knee, you could recover. As fucked up as your knee is, you still have your mind.
Right.
So that's... I would argue that.
Yeah, the only
you
way to
walk,
defend...
But you could sit around and think about it for decades.
the only way to defend... Or really simple is just checking it. Mm. You just check it.
That was crazy. So, UFC... Oh, by the way, another girl who looked... Melvin Manhoef got knocked out again. I think this is like his third knockout
in
four
a row,
fights.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, that I easier, eventually right? It's just yeah, and he's
fucking beast. Did you see him swinging? Every time he swung his left, his body did a little twirl.
He's a monster. I mean, he someone said like if you do MMA math, he beat Mark Hunt, right? And then
yeah, back in the day.
And then Hunt, so he beat Mark Hunt, and then and Tito Ortiz beat the guy he just lost to.
Shlemenko.
So therefore, Tito could beat Mark Hunt. Like it's just a crazy MMA math. Now, Julia Budd, there's a girl we should talk about right now. She's in your weight class, right? 145.
Yeah, she's a 145er.
What do you think of her?
She didn't look very impressive.
Really?
No.
She
did not go for the finish once. She did not go for the finish once, and it was there multiple times.
How was it there?
There were submissions. There were ways to end it with deadlier strikes. And she just laid and prayed. I was excited to watch her fight. I've seen her Muay Thai fight. She's an exciting fighter. I just was kind of let down. I don't really know much about the chick that she fought, but it didn't, you know.
It seems like that girl's ranked 10, right? And she was like number 2.
Yeah. She's obviously got the cardio to go three to five rounds, but... Do you have the cardio to, like, try and finish the fight?
It seems like in men's MMA, and this is not a knock on women's MMA, but in men's MMA, a number 2 guy fights a number 10 guy. It's a lot closer than women's MMA where 2 versus 10.
Right.
Maybe because there's more male fighters. There's also
this. You also have to consider, you know, I was thinking, like, she obviously could win the fight. She's had ring rust for so long. She's probably just trying to, you know, be in there for 3 full rounds just to really...
Right.
Just to really be in there.
It's a dangerous strategy, right?
Exactly.
You want to win as soon as you can win.
But clearly she was dominating, but there were a few times I was worried because, like, the girl was just kind of... The girl she was fighting had a couple fuck-it moments.
She looked 5 times bigger than that girl, though.
Yeah.
She looked huge.
No, she walks around really big, and I guess she used to be a bodybuilder or something.
What's
Julia Budd.
Very pretty girl. She either doesn't know how to finish fights or she's just milking it just to get the experience back and to knock the rust off.
Now UFC fight
she's
night.
By the jewel.
Now yeah. UFC fight night, right? So
polish that.
That was on Valentine's Day, so I had to go and watch my friend's show, which is the worst. Is when is when you get spoilers. I understand it's MMA roasted, so people want to constantly update me, but all right, look, I'm doing a comedy show. I'm not back yet.
I'm not watching it.
And then I'm like, okay, doesn't matter. I'll still get 10,000 jokes, which I love. I love getting that. But
by the way, thank you to everybody that made the images of me with my hands down my pants.
We have the best fans ever.
If you didn't see them, please repost them on the MMA Roasted feed.
I will.
So funny.
So I still love getting that, but I turn off Twitter. I'm like, okay, I'm not watching Twitter right now. I got to turn off because I want to watch the fights.
Like a video? You watch Twitter like a video?
Well, I turn off Twitter because I'm going to get every result on every single fight. You know,
which is great.
I've asked for it.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to see my tweet saying, hey, I'm doing a comedy show or I'm
leaving.
Please don't.
You can't expect that.
I get it, okay?
Just don't look at your phone.
But then I go on Instagram and people start tagging me in videos of people winning. I'm like... Like, really? Like on Instagram? So now I'm like, fuck.
Instagram.
Like, so now there's got to be a way to get back at people who spoil fights for you. I mean, because at that moment I'm like, motherfucker. There's nothing like watching a fight not knowing who wins.
Yeah.
As soon as you know the results.
I remember doing the show during the one where Silva broke his leg.
Yeah.
And I come off the stage and the owner of the club's like, you got to see this.
Yeah.
And they show me a GIF.
yeah.
of just the leg snapping. I was like, oh, that's fake. Somebody made that and said, that can't be it. He's like, no, that's how the fight ended. And I had to run next door to the sports bar to see the replay because I couldn't believe that was accurate. You know, I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody had just made it, a little animation and everything. And I was like,
I'm completely opposite. I don't get bummed. I don't, like, unless it's like a big fight that I was looking forward to, I don't really get bummed by results. I'm just like, oh, okay, let's see how it plays out.
Really?
I will say that is the advantage to being a stoner, because I'm you can tell me something, and I'm not going to remember by the time I watch it.
I'm like, I hope you get AIDS. Honestly, thank you for... All right, maybe not that far.
I hope the AIDS community reaches out to you in outrage, letting you know that's an AIDS slur. We're not going to be tolerated.
I hope your potato gets AIDS.
The potato AIDS community. That's the new disease.
You get the AIDS potatoes.
I got potato AIDS. It's the worst.
I got potatoes.
You grow all these eyes around your dick. Your dick grows potato eyes.
So, all right.
And I'm not making fun of the Irish.
All right. Okay, listen.
Much.
So let's talk about the fights on that.
I love you, Ireland. I love you.
Ben Henderson versus Brendan Thatch. A couple thoughts about this fight. First of all, Ben Henderson should not be at 170. Those guys are way too big
way
for
big.
Him. Way too big for him, number one.
That's what I kept thinking. He's lucky he's fighting a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience.
He was...
Because experience is what won the fight.
That guy was scared to go to the ground with him. Yeah. He was already in his mind, I'm never
going
to go to the
much.
Ground with him. In a three-round fight, Thatch wins that
he
fight.
He won.
Okay? Thatch never went five rounds before, as far as I know. You know, he was not prepared
for five
rounds. And he was
gassed in that fourth round.
He was gassed.
He was so happy to go to the ground and get beat.
Ben don't look great. He wasn't happy to get beat.
I mean, he looked happy. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, thank you.
But I thought I think Henderson stays at 155. But it just goes to show you, when you're dealing with a professional, a real, a top elite level athlete.
Experience like that.
If you have one weakness, they will find it, and they will beat you.
Yeah.
Especially with a guy like John Crouch.
Yeah.
John Crouch. And
but that's what makes the sport so interesting to people who understand that.
Which, by the
when
way...
When people don't understand that, it's they want, like, instant satisfaction. And they don't understand that this is a science, and there's a scientific method to how these fighters get prepared for fights, and strategies, and game plans.
And what is that strategy?
You find your opponent's weakness, and you go for it every single fucking time. Every second you have in that cage, you're going for that weakness.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So if I were to get in the ring, the other guy would just get in with, like, weed, chocolate, and porn.
Exactly. Well, they have
to, and the fight would be over. I'd be submitted in a heartbeat. I'm eating chocolate M&Ms.
They would have to find your strength. They would have to. Your whole thing is a weakness. We have to find the one strength Greg has. So listen. But seriously, it was crazy because I'm watching this, and his corner kept saying, "Take him down like you mean it."
Right.
And
yeah.
That was that's all he did.
He did it, and it worked. Yep.
And I was like, you know what? They were smart. They were smart for taking the fight. It was all around smart.
And it looked great for Henderson because rounds. He went up a class and won.
And you know what? He won the fight against Donald Cerrone too. Ben Henderson has really only, I thought he lost to Edgar fight, but he really has only been dominated twice.
Honestly, I think I can see why you think Ben Henderson won the Cerrone fight. I think the only thing that Cerrone lost about that fight was his fucking, what's it called? His demeanor.
Yeah. His bravado?
Yeah, like the way his face looked in that cage, like he didn't look as hungry as he did in every other fight.
Because he fought 2 weeks before that.
I know, but like, you know, I understand that, but if you're signing a contract to get into a fight 2 weeks after you fought...
Tough luck, yeah.
Exactly.
He also did, I think he also liked Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
I think so too.
They're friends. They fought twice already.
Yeah.
And
I just wanted, it was just kind of like after him fighting Jury, it was just kind of like, meh.
Well, he didn't like Jury. He thought Jury was being disrespectful to
him. No, I understand.
Did you guys
that.
Notice, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but did Benson Henderson have a toothpick
he did.
In his mouth
yes.
he did.
During the fight?
He always
does. Because, like, the fight goes out, and it just came right out of his mouth.
He always does. And, he has it in practice.
I was wondering if that was, like, an always... Because it seems like a very
Why
bad
Why would they
move.
Check his mouth?
I think he
do check
I think he has it underneath the mouth guard. I'm sure he has it.
He He's apparently really good at hiding it from the commission.
And I think it's bullshit.
Fight's over, it just popped right out of his mouth.
It's bullshit, like, because let's say he could A, choke on it.
Or pokes right through his fucking mouth.
To his mouth. What if it like comes out of his mouth, goes in someone's eye?
Exactly.
They have to like literally, at the next fight, they should have to take it out, inspect it, make sure there's no toothpick, and
that's
put it back
all
in.
I kept thinking was like, where the fuck did that toothpick
You know what? I'm
from?
Sure, you know, these guys are very superstitious, these fighters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm
yeah,
sure,
like, why can't his corner just have a toothpick on hand? Like, when he sits in the corner, give him a toothpick, chew on a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then they take it back, and then they give it back. And then after the fight, they're like, hey, man, you can have the toothpick for as long as you want now.
I
does he eat his girl out with a toothpick in his mouth?
Probably.
He's a straight up child.
That's what I was saying. She treats him like a child. Like, here, you can now have your toothpick back.
It's probably a Jesus thing. He's a big religious guy. Yeah,
and Jesus had a toothpick?
Oh, Jesus was on the cross.
Cross made out of wood.
Was the cross in his mouth?
He has a toothpick in his mouth. I don't guarantee anything, but it's probably a Jesus religious thing with him. And he's a very religious guy.
He might have been dipped in holy water.
He's
holy saliva?
Yeah.
He's a real nice guy.
Now they're coming after us.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You cannot make jokes about the Lord. You cannot talk about Christ's cross in your mouth.
There's a big article in the Vatican right now about our podcast. Yeah. So, yeah.
Pope Francis is going to come out against us.
No, he wants to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Apparently, I hear he's got a great sense
Pope
of humor.
Pope Francis is down like that.
I know.
He'd be totally cool.
He would. Absolutely.
Off subject, but I think this is the best thing to happen to the Catholic Church in 100 years.
The Pope?
The Pope Francis.
Yeah.
This guy's a good progressive guy.
Yeah, let's get him up in here.
Well, progressive as in progressive enough.
For the
Catholic Church, progressive.
Incredibly progressive.
All right, listen, Cole Miller versus Max Holloway.
Okay, this is the one. Max Holloway, exciting fighter. He was doing those crazy, I don't know, what do you call them, wheel kicks, spin kicks? I don't know.
Yeah.
But those were exciting.
That
as
kid has no fear.
And then,
no fear.
The other guy, what was it, Cole or whatever?
Yeah.
Max Holloway would come inside and he would bring him into his own fucking head and then start complaining, hey, he headbutted me. But every time you look at the replay, he was the one bringing him into his own head.
Marina?
I don't know. I was just always all for Max. I just had brain fart.
For Max Holloway.
Yeah.
He looked way better. The other kid, I mean, he looked old and out of shape.
I think he wants his rematch with Connor.
What, is he going to come kill me for saying that?
No, apparently Anderson failed his post-fight drug test also.
Another drug test?
Are you fucking serious?
So that's a third one?
And this looks, if the drugs I'm reading on the screen are correct, they're two different drugs than what he got popped for the first time.
Wow.
Is one of them cocaine?
So Silva went all in, huh?
Wow.
And that's what these guys, they go all in.
That's too bad.
I mean, look, I think that...
Yeah, that is so sad.
It's confirmed by the athlete.
Anderson Silva is the greatest of all time at taking drugs. That's going to be next week.
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, he's the greatest of all time. But all right, back to...
What a bummer.
That is a bummer.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer. He went all in.
But I think that was too fast from trying. He should have done it naturally and taken two years.
A lot of these. First of all, a lot of these guys that I know that they take these drugs to help them heal faster,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
then they get addicted to the drugs,
right.
Or they think they're not as strong without the drugs, and they keep taking it. And some bonehead guy is going, "Don't worry,
holy shit,
it's not
going to
come up." You know.
Yeah.
I wonder. I want to know how Kat Zingano's test went then.
Shots fired.
Did you
well,
guys see?
We're not gonna know.
Not shots.
Yeah. Well, Ed Suarez manages her.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
not gonna know till after the fight, because it seems like lately it's been okay. If these guys fail a drug
test,
it's
been all Ed Suarez's guys.
We're gonna know about afterwards.
This is a conspiracy.
So back to Max Holloway. Max Holloway. When I hung out with him, let me talk for a sec, Greg.
Sorry.
I love you, but
I was just chiming in. That's all I was doing. I was just saying he's excited fight. That's all.
Chiming in. Yeah. Gangbangs are romantic. All right. So
they can be with the right lighting.
Now, Max
the
Holloway.
Right music?
I hung out with Max Holloway in Vegas, and he is one of the nicest people. And when I say that, like I say, people are nice. His whole goal is to inspire kids. Like, that's all he wants to do is be inspiring to kids. That's really what he wants. He's like, look, I just want to inspire kids to be good fighters. And I want to be a good role model. And he's one of the nicest, most down-to-earth. So Max Holloway, I'm a fan. And coincidentally, the other guy who I met who is as humble and nice is Cub Swanson. And they're fighting next. And fuck, because I hate when two guys that I really like as people fight. No. And I
That's
get it.
It's a job.
It's a job. And, you know,
exciting because I really think, or I know, you can obviously see with his performance, he wants Conor again. He really
Max?
Wants, yeah.
But who wins that fight against Cub Swanson?
I can't tell you. I like both fighters.
They're both stand-up guys.
I hope Cub, after fighting Frankie, he just kind of tightened his shit right back up.
But the thing about Max Holloway is he'll stand there and trade with you, whereas yeah. Frankie Edgar's like, I know I'm going to win the wrestling match, and I'm going to win the fight, which is brilliant. That's what you should do. He's an All-American wrestler.
Yeah, but he exchanged with Cub in that fight.
Yeah, but he also took him down a lot. And majority of the time, it was like takedown, grind,
well,
ground
and
pound.
Well, if Cub learns anything from that fight, that's what's going to change his fight with Max.
Well, Max isn't going to try to take him down, I don't think.
I know, but Cub could try to take him down.
Take down Max?
Yeah, grind him out.
But let's say they stand and trade. Who wins the stand-up trade? Who wins the stand-up war?
Well, how long is Max's reach? Doesn't he have a couple inches on Cub? He's a lot lankier.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
That's a good fight.
That's a we'll see
and
fight.
Then you also have Frankie Edgar, Uriah Faber. Holy shit. First
what?
Of all. Yeah, they're
is
fighting.
Is that happening?
Yes.
Yeah. When is that happening?
It just got announced a couple days ago.
That's pretty good. I mean, well, here's the thing is you got names that people like, you know? And that they haven't seen in a little bit. Although Uriah Faber just fought, didn't he?
They both just fought. At 145, who wins at 140? It's at 145, so Uriah's going back up. What Uriah Faber really wants is the Conor McGregor fight. He said something bad about Ireland. He said that they have nothing going on except what was the quote he said? They have nothing to cheer for except for Conor McGregor. And the guys look like lanky, whatever, pathetic guys or something that pissed him off. He really wants that. He wants McGregor versus Faber in Ireland.
Wow.
But in order for that to happen, McGregor's got to get past Aldo. Or if
well, tell Faber I'll come and work as entourage. We'll get all the hate.
can you dress up as like a
I'll
leprechaun?
Dress up as a leprechaun. And I'll be like, you're not taking down Uriah Faber today. The rainbow ends right here.
Oh, man. So, yes, that's going to be a good fight. Jesus, so many good fights being made right now.
And can we really quickly just touch on the Dan Kelly-Patrick Walsh fight? Because that was like a tough man competition fight. Like, it was just two guys just swinging at each other.
I know.
And part of me enjoyed it, but part of me was also like, I don't see a lot of mixed, and I don't see a lot of arts.
No.
I'm just seeing a lot of marshaling.
Yeah.
No, that was
pretty
horrible.
Fucking much.
They
there's
were just marshaling
worse.
The
there's nothing
shit
worse than an
other.
Expert in judo not using his
not
judo.
Not using judo, and everyone comes saying that. Like, why isn't he taking him to the ground? He tried once, and that was it.
Did you look at that fight and have flashbacks? No?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, it was awful.
I didn't watch
it. It was
fight.
Pathetic. It was
right. It was like, what kind of fight is this? They're just up there just.
He wanted to prove
that he was a stand-up.
The guy's a four-time Olympian in judo.
Yeah.
Four-time Olympian. Okay? Use what you're good at. It's it's like me going, I'm a comic. I'm gonna do a musical on stage.
Right. I'm gonna play music tonight. I don't even know how, but I'm going to.
Give me a guitar.
Hello?
Hey, what's
hey.
Up? We're here with Max Holloway. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Marina Shafir, Greg Wilson. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Good. Pretty you look good. Great in your fight. Holy shit, you look good in that fight.
Great fight, brother.
Very good fight.
Thank you.
So how are you back in Hawaii?
Yeah, back in Hawaii, back with my 23 kids, you know, living life again.
How many kids do you have? I always make jokes about how many kids you have. How many kids do you have?
I got one son, brother.
Oh, that's it? What do I think? I know, but you had him when young, right? Didn't you have him when you were like 11 or something? Or
pretty close. I had him when I was 9.
Nice. That's awesome.
You were way off.
His mom's a coconut.
Now you're on a 4-fight winning streak, dude. You've been just killing it, man. What do you think was the difference? Like, do you think the Conor McGregor fight was that a wake up call for you? Was that were you just like what changed from that fight to the fights that you've had since then?
My maturity level. You know, after that Conor McGregor fight, it didn't help. Everybody like shoving in my face that he was hurt or whatever, and that he beat me with his ACL supposedly blown or whatever injury he had at the time. And and that just made my maturity level go up. And I just, you know, I put it back on my day, on my goals that I want to get back to fighting him, and no excuses, and let's go do a number two with that guy, you know. So I just been on a mission.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been absolutely, I mean, killing it. Your striking is great. How's your wrestling?
You know, my wrestling, we've been practicing on it. You know, this is MMA, man. You gotta be ready everywhere. So, you know, I guess I showed a little. You know, I finally got my first takedown in octagon against Miller.
Yeah.
Past Saturday, so it was a great feeling to be able to pick someone up and slam them. It was awesome. But you know, I love my striking.
Yeah, no, it was...
I love your kicking, man. When you do those. Is it a wheel kick? Is that what this is? Boy, especially the end, you're like, there's 3 seconds left. I'm just going to throw out a couple of wild wheel kicks. It was phenomenal, man. It was highly entertaining. I loved it. Was there a moment where you were like, I can't lose at this point, so I'm just going to do a little flash? Is that what it was?
You know, it was more, he was doing this lean back. That's why I started trying spinning stuff. I was spinning back face and that spinning kick because he was doing this weird lean back, like what boxers do, and he was longer than I thought he was. So I was like, I can't hit him with my straight punches or with my hooks. So I was like, I might as well try to do a spinning back fist or a spinning hook kick to see if I landed. And, you know, I got close the first time. So the second time I threw it at the end of the third round, I just like, I might as well go all in and it probably looked cool.
It looked
like,
cool, man. It looked so cool.
Now, are you the king of Hawaii right now? I mean, are chicks just lining up to give you blowjobs?
Isn't
he
married?
Oh yeah. Are you
having to do a lot of on the side blowjobs?
Are you still married?
Yeah, I'm married, man. You know, I wouldn't say I'm the king. You know, I'm getting noticed a lot more now ever since this last fight and ever since they talked to me after the fight and got me that Cub fight. You know, it's a huge thing right now. You know, it's even more crazy now. I just been walking around places now and I'm getting noticed now. So it's a great feeling. You know, our hard work is coming together.
Nice, nice. Yeah. By the way, I remember your wife is super hot. Just so you know, your wife's really, really hot.
It's to be expected.
Yeah. Just
thank you.
Oh, who you knew about?
Yeah. No, I know. Because I thought they were divorced. I thought you guys got divorced, but then I guess you guys are back together. There was some kind of weird thing.
Yeah.
There were some issues going on, but now they're back together.
Miller kept accusing you of headbutting, but to me, it looked like he kept pulling you into his face. Was it beginning to bother you that he kept like complaining about this?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, man. You know, it's a sport. You know, that first one was totally on accident. I was coming in, and he was leaning back, like I said, and then he finally decided to put his head forward, and we crashed heads. You know, it wasn't even that hard, but it was enough to open a cut. And then after that, everyone after that was in the Muay Thai clinch, and he was, like, pulling my head, or I was trying to get underneath his chin, you know, to keep my head underneath his chin so he couldn't change levels on me and take me down, And, you know, that was just a sport. That was just us rugby. You know, I don't know what it is. It's just a wrestler grind there. So I wasn't too sure. I was kind of lost in the cage when he was saying stuff and this and that. But, you know, he came in the back. He apologized to me. And he told me he's mad at the ref, but the ref not doing his job. So
well, that's classy.
It was whatever.
Yeah. Cole seems like a good guy. And
yeah,
both you guys
move.
Seem like
yeah, he's
good.
A super, super nice guy, man. I got to talk to him. He invited me to the hotel room after to play some games, you know. So, you know, I was tired, but I fell asleep.
This is what I love about the sport.
Message, but
really? What did he want to do? Like play like Call of Duty or something? Or
he said he had a PS4 in his room, so I don't know. He wanted to play something. I have no idea what it was, but
that's awesome.
I thought that was pretty awesome when I woke up and I read it. I was like, oh man, I wish I stood up. I would have went to his room and played.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That is so refreshing to hear shit like that. That's so fucking awesome.
Now a couple things. Does anybody are you telling people that Russell Doane's in the UFC? Because no one believes it. Are you telling people? I know he's your teammate, right?
Yeah. You know, Russell Doane, he's an animal, man. I think Russell should be ranked in the top 10 of the bantamweights right now. You know, his last fight, he fought Yuri.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got that. Yeah, I think that was a bullshit decision down in down in Brazil, but yeah, you know, Bird Law can always tell us, don't leave that shit to the judges. Don't make you cry.
Exactly.
And, you know, it is what it is, man. I can't wait to him get back. Hopefully, UFC books him the same time as me, April 18th, and I can have a teammate up there with me, because having a teammate on the same card is refreshing.
Yeah, I like your whole team, man. You, Russell, who else is there?
We got Louis Smoker.
Yeah, Smoker.
Train, Medeiros. We got Dustin Kimura.
Yeah, I like all you guys. Smoker. I
love Yancey.
Yeah, Yancey's the shit. That your whole team is a bunch of just a good laid back. I love making, you guys are always like, they're always asking me to like make fun of them. Their whole team is a bunch of cool, laid back, badass Hawaiians. And then there's that girl, right, that trains with you? Like, who's that Hawaiian girl that's kind of hot?
Kylan Curran?
Not Kylan Curran, but there's another girl. Raquel, right? Isn't there another girl?
Pennington? No.
There's another girl. They're from Hawaii.
Yeah, she doesn't train with me. She fought.
Both of them used to train with us, but now they both live in the mainland.
Raquel Palui.
Yeah, Raquel Palui.
She just fought Caitlin.
Yeah.
Caitlin.
Yeah,
Young.
She lives in Vegas now.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Now, what else would I want to ask you? Okay, yeah, your fight with Cub Swanson. And now, are you guys going to try to keep a stand in? Are you gonna watch Frankie Edgar how he did and kind of sort of emulate what he did, or what's the game? Tell me exactly what you're gonna do.
Blow your game plan. Now.
Exactly. Game plan. I'm going to go in there, touch gloves, shoot on him, and then hold him down and try to hold him down for 15 minutes. You know, I think that's a good game plan.
Hold him down for 15 minutes.
To get away from that his right hand or his powerful strike, you know. So I'll probably wrestle him, you know.
Nice.
I'm just totally joking with you. What kind of question is that? He's a striker, I'm a striker.
I just like
my interview. That Tommy, it's going crazy right now. Everybody's laughing what I said, but I truly believe, man, he got ninja moves, I got ninja moves, and we're going to have a great ninja fight, man.
Boy, I love that little ninja fight. I'm going to be throwing stars through the cage. That's awesome.
I like having ninja sex.
I don't know, we might.
Go on. You might what?
We might even be in ninja suits, and I might
all black, just completely covered.
Mortal Kombat, and I would be Scorpion or something, you know.
That would be
so
awesome.
It'd be that much more entertaining.
Now I know there are tons of hot Hawaiian girls out there
that Adam is not sleeping with.
Listen,
but wants to.
What's your best advice on how to pick up a Hawaiian chick?
I'll just show them your wallet.
Really? That's what they're into, huh? Then I'm totally fucked.
It is expensive out there. It's a very expensive place.
It is expensive there. Yeah, it is.
I mean, you could work this to your advantage. You could just get a whole bunch of singles.
Yeah.
And just make your wallet fat.
Would that work for you? No. I remember one time I asked him who he'd rather have sex with, Ronda Rousey or Misha Tate, and he said, I'd rather drown myself. That was his answer.
That's fucked up.
No, he's married. That's actually.
I know. That's not fucked
smart
up.
Smart answer.
That was a really good answer, by the way. Just so
he
you know.
He could have said, sleep with my wife.
Yeah, he could have said that. Yeah, why did you drown yourself, Max?
I did say that. And Adam kept pushing the issue. He's a punk. He's a big punk on this show, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a big punk in real life.
He's a meanie.
I chumped him last week. Just saying.
Uh-oh, bad blood.
I'm just saying.
Look, he's still butthurt about it.
Max,
no, he's not. He's over it.
I'm trying to hear what Max was saying. Max, what were you saying?
I'm just saying you're a meanie, man. Like, you're a big bully on the show, you know? Like, I don't know if people know, but he called me up. He just called. I just got called 30 seconds ago to be on this podcast, and this is how it went. I was like, you know, hey, Max, this is Adam. You're doing my show. Bye. I was like, wow. But, I have no say, you know. I'm just a punk. He's just a big punk. I thought I was the guy in the UFC. I guess not.
No, man. I'm a huge fan, dude. I was talking about you, before. I was saying how when I met you in Vegas, how you told me one of your goals was to be a good role model for kids, and that all you want to do is inspire people to become better people. And that was actually one of the nicest. And that was like not even, there was no cameras there. I wasn't a reporter. You just told me that, just me and you. And I was like, man, this is a guy I will always root for. So.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. That means a lot. That's the end goal, man. Changing one person's life, you know. Make the world a better one person at a time.
Yeah. Now the fight's over. You got another one coming up. You know exactly what your schedule is going to be over the next few months. So as soon as the fight's over, you go home. What do you do to kind of relax, come down from that high before you start training for the next fight? Like, what do you do? Just sit around?
Have you seen his wife?
Do you just bang your wife? Is that, I mean, is that all? I mean, what do? Relaxing dinners?
Stone massage. I love Hawaiian. You know, you guys saying you guys are no Yancy. So, man, we love to eat, man. So I'm eating. You know, I finally get to do stuff that my wife doesn't let me do, like go to the beach and do all kind of stuff. Play, go hang out, go and boogie boarding or spongy. I don't know what you guys call it, surfing. Yeah. You know, doing all that kind of fun stuff that I can't do in camp. So
right. And how long do you get to do that before you got to start prepping time for the next fight? How long do you have before you got to start getting to camp?
You know, I got we're 9 weeks out now, so we usually do a 8 to 6 week camp. So I got this week to rest and then get right back into it next week.
Now, is there a food like that you're like, okay, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm eating that food?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, it's chocolate, man. Chocolate or breakfast or pancakes or it's
chocolate
like
fondue.
As soon as a dessert, man. Any type of desserts. I love desserts.
Like, that's people, right. You're like, serve
cake
it up.
And ice cream, and I just go crazy, man.
I feel you. Max, carbs time.
Max, didn't your wife one time ask Dana to give you a bonus?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it was on like Twitter. I think it was after your fight in like Japan. I think I remember that. Or China and Asia. Then you knock someone out in Asia.
Oh yeah. Will Chope. I remember this. Will Chope.
Well, yeah, you walk Will Chope, and then your wife said, "Hey Dana, I think my husband should get the knockout of the night bonus." And I was like, "Man, that is a ride or die chick right there."
Yeah, that was very sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah. You know, and then guess what happened? I got it. So
nice.
You could demand stuff from Dana more. It'd be fun.
Nice. Well, listen, man, nothing but respect for you. I can't wait to watch your fight against Cub. Cub's a friend of mine as well, so I'm going to be rooting for both of you guys. I'm rooting for a draw. I hope it's a draw.
That'd be awesome. Let's get a draw, and then let's both get Fighter Night bonuses and then performance out of night. So we both go home with 100K more. That'd be awesome.
That would be great. And I would love to have you beat Conor McGregor. By the way, we have actually Conor McGregor in studio.
That's right. I've come here today to tell you haven't a prayer, Mr. Max Hurley. You think you're ready to fight the McGregor? You don't have the leprechaun boots to do it.
No, so Connor, why do you think that you would beat Max Holloway again?
I'll tell you something. I'm going to ride in on my lucky charms. I'm going to throw a bunch of doubloons at him to distract him, and then I'm going to throw him right to the mat.
Anything you want to say, Max?
Oh, man, it's horrible, man. Hey, man, Connor, best of luck, man, to you against Jose Aldo, you know. I'll see you in the near future.
I'll be waiting for you.
Well, thanks. Well, listen, Max.
With a nice potato salad.
Oh, man, is Conor McGregor sick or something? I don't know, I got a raspy throat right now.
Yes.
Well, what can I say? Between fights, I like to smoke a lot of marijuana.
Wow, I had no idea you're such a big pothead.
I like the ganja. I put it in my tiny little pipe, and I smoke it while sitting on top of a rainbow.
I had no idea this happened. So how are you training for Aldo, Conor McGregor?
The one thing I'm doing, I like to watch his fights. I watch the tape while enjoying a pint of Guinness. That's what I'm not afraid of him. He's awfully brown. I'm going to dip my doubloons into him like he's a bean dip.
Wow, that's quite a statement. Well, listen, Max Holloway, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
I'll be waiting for you, Mr. Hurley.
You are the best. Max, you're the best.
You are the best, man. And great fight. Super entertaining.
Best, man. Thank you guys all together. Thank you for the support, man. It means a lot.
Always, brother. And then if you ever come to L.A., let me know.
I will.
All right. Take care, Max.
Bye.
Take care, man. Bye.
Bye.
What a nice guy.
You think I'm going to get in trouble for that one?
Yes.
Again, Ireland, I'm just kidding. I love you. I love Conor McGregor. I'm a huge fan. These are, you know what they say? It's like imitation's the highest form of flattery.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I think that's my goal here, is to flatter.
Oh, yeah, of course.
More than insult.
Oh, absolutely. Well, listen.
you don't believe me.
Well, where can people see you?
This weekend, I'm going to be at Laughs Comedy Club in Tucson, Arizona.
Nice.
And also, tonight I'm on Comics Unleashed, if that's it. So go to Comics Unleashed, look it up online, and my new episode should be out by the time you hear this podcast.
And Marina, where can people find you?
Marina Shafir everywhere.
Nice. And I will be in Joey's Comedy Club in Livonia, which is it's in Michigan, right by Detroit, tomorrow night.
Right next to the remains of Detroit.
Tomorrow night through Saturday night. I'll be in Michigan, in Detroit, in Livonia. And then the following week, I'm in Reno. Catch a Rising Star in Reno.
Yeah, they haven't brought me back there yet either. I got in trouble with that chain, too.
And then Friday, I think I'm going to be at the Sportsman Lodge for some MMA fights.
Where?
Is that, are you going to Carlson's fight?
Yeah, I think so.
Carlson and my buddy Casey Green's also fighting on.
Yeah, that. Studio City?
Yep,
I'll be there.
Oh, it's right there, the Sportsman.
I'll be there.
It's a very nice, that's a nice spot.
He's a new comedy there.
Yeah,
exactly, that's why I know it.
When is it?
It's on Friday.
Yeah. I'm in Joey's in Comedy Club in Livonia. But anyway, so the guy who he's fighting is what was my instructor before I tore my ACL, which I'm going to get surgery probably in the next 2 months. Jared Carlston, who's also Evan the Beard's trainer, who's also Alan Juban's trainer, who's this guy's cool as shit. Mm. One of the nicest, coolest, sweetest, best trainers I've ever had. This guy inspires me to be a better coach, to coach his eye coach. The guy is such a nice guy. So Jared, good luck. He tried out for the Ultimate Fighter a couple years ago. He got into a jiu-jitsu war with, what's his name? He
ended up... Cristiano Marcello.
Yeah, why would you go against that guy? That was his only strength, was jiu-jitsu. But whatever. I mean, that's Jared.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But good for Jared. Good luck, Jared. I love Jared. He's going to come on the podcast sometime soon. So best of luck to him.
And
thank
all
you,
my
Marina.
Stuff is the Greg Wilson. If you look
the Greg Wilson.
TheGregWilson.com, yes. At the Greg Wilson, all that bullshit.
Thank you, Fox Sports. Thank you, Evan the Beard. Anybody who's like, when's the podcast coming up? Hit up Evan the Beard. He loves hearing.
Stop harassing DJ Shrew. Harass me instead.
Harass Evan
and
the Beard.
Marina, have you ever thought about just like trimming the ends? It seems like you could use.
I do. They're actually very healthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, guys. All right, take care, guys. Bye bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.